The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
You know, like Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are.
Representing Bullet Club, this is what we do.
Super Kid Putty! It's Japan!
Last week, Nia Jax took out my best friend. You have no idea how that makes me feel. You have no idea that me and Bayley share the same dream. I know how much she wanted to be there at SummerSlam. I know how much she wanted to get revenge on Alexa Bliss. Well, guess what? So do I. But not only on her, on Nia Jax. So next Monday, not only am I going to beat Nia Jax, which I've done before, I'm going to make her pay. And come SummerSlam, Alexa Bliss better watch out because there's nowhere to run. And I will become a four-time Raw Women's Champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 259, part 1. And we hope you all have enjoyed your beginning of the week and happy early Tuesday morning. We want to let you guys know you can always find all of our great content here at Wrestling to the Max at W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place you go find all of our great stuff plus a lot more, especially in the world of wrestling. Also, don't forget that, you know, when we give some love over there to 411mania.com, all those guys are amazing. We appreciate their partnership. Hey, and if you want to get all of our content, make sure you also go on any place that you get your podcast, subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network, as well as go do the same at YouTube. That's right. We're on there as well, guys. Oh, man, we are here and ready to have a lot of fun because we are all here in unison. Of course, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Teaming up with me tonight is, of course, Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And, of course, our Trios tag team partner, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And, guys, we are whole. We are all here, you know, all here tonight. Paul, you're back from vacation, buddy. I hope you had a nice time on the beach.
It was great, man. Just sitting out there in the sand, you never realize how revitalizing a beach is until you're sitting out there for days and days at a time.
See, Sean, we were never missed.
It took, you know, if I was on the beach, I wouldn't really be thinking about anything but the beach at that point either.
Yeah, just looking around and enjoying the scenery. I don't blame you, Paul. No, I hope to be doing that same thing too soon. Trust me, I feel you on that. So I'm just glad you're back and you're revitalized and you have some more energy, you know. And, of course, we're going to take as much energy as we can from you. You know that. We are the succubus of the wrestling knowledge that we need from you.
So. But, you know, if anything, being on a beach just made me realize we really should do W2M Puerto Rico. So,
yeah, we'll say
that would be amazing.
You know what? You guys just plan in October. Just go down with me. We'll all hit up Jamaica. We'll do W2M Jamaica.
Yeah.
And we'll eat you as know, many brownies as we can get.
Oh, boy.
Maybe Kofi Kingston will make an appearance to feel nostalgic.
Don't brownie in podcast, I say.
you may get a little bit of mixed reviews on some of the things I may say, so we'll hold off on that.
I mean, we'll get some real Gary After Dark with that one.
Yeah. Ooh, you're telling me.
Like the black market kind of version. Don't say this at all. But, you know, maybe if they did have Trios Championships for podcasts, we would definitely be in the running.
I was about to ask if you guys won titles while I was away, and I wasn't even here to help you win them.
We wish.
Yeah, we tried. Very difficult thing to do without our Trios
part. Yeah.
So, no, but I'm glad we're all here, guys. This has been, a great time, during this year, because we're leading up to a big pay-per-view and all that in the world of wrestling, and plenty of news and great stuff going on. So I'm excited. You know, tonight we're going to be getting into some of those big news topics. We'll be talking a little Woken Hardys. I'm going to throw that in there along with all of our other great, interesting news that we've got going on. Some releases from WWE. Of course, we've got some news going on with, of course, we talked All Japan a little bit. We're going to talk more a little bit All Japan, and another place that is going to be getting on to the, Fight Out Network and all that great stuff. So trust me, great stuff when it comes to the news this week. Also, two Ring of Honors. That's why we promised it to you last week. We said that we were going to save one Ring of Honor, and we are doing it. So you're going to get a double shot tonight. I'm really looking forward to that. Some great things I think we'll all be talking about when it comes to that promotion. So there you go. That's what's going to be pretty much on this show. I'm really excited about talking about this. So while we go ahead and get started, let's go ahead and jump into these big news topics and talk some quick hits right after this.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Take it away, bud.
All right, guys. No, this isn't on our doc. You know, we kind of have a little outline here just to make sure we kind of remember everything we want to talk about. But I do want to bring this up because I saw a little bit about this. I know both of you guys, of course, probably saw the same stuff I saw. But what was interesting is that GFW, of course, has this whole thing going on with the Hardys. And we know this is an ongoing saga. I mean, my goodness, it seems like every week there's a little bit of piece of news, but we kind of stop covering everything because it's just tedious. It's kind of stupid until you actually get a chance to talk about, hey, this happened. It really happened, or this is not happening. We're going to save it. But this is what's interesting. There is another piece of news that's kind of funny that I think we should talk about. Global Force Wrestling, they wanted to team up with a restaurant called Jimmy's Seafood. And I think, if I'm not wrong, Paul, Sean, you guys may have to let me know. I think this is the same seafood place that Jim Ross and, what's his name? I'm already forgetting his name. One of the greatest managers of all time, Cornette. Cornette has been talking about, I think it's the same place, Jimmy's Seaside Seafood Restaurant. And it's a big deal. You always hear about wrestlers and going there to eat when they're in Baltimore. Well, apparently GFW wanted to team up with these guys and make something happen, probably want their name on that restaurant being a wrestling hangout. But when they messaged them and said, hey, guys, we want to be a part of this, let's have a call here and talk about being partners. Well, apparently the restaurant decided to not let it happen because they say until GFW actually allows the Hardys to have the Broken Universe back, they are not going to be partnering up with anybody from Global Force Wrestling. I thought this was funny. You had, of course, some comments from Rebby and Matt Hardy kind of, gloating on this and just thanking, this restaurant for doing this. I just thought it was funny. I don't know, Paul. What did you think about all that?
If I was the owners of the seafood brand, I would be worried that GFW would take 10% of my earnings. So probably better they didn't do it.
So yeah, they probably talked to Magnus already about this. Yeah, Sean, I mean, my goodness, I mean, this is crazy. But I mean, Global Force can't even get a restaurant to partner with them.
Well, if I'm that restaurant, why go with the inferior product? Go get the Broken Hardys, to go represent you instead. It's just funny that so many of these companies, between them and Wendy's, of people that are just so into the let's do something with wrestling and show that we're fans. And I mean, Wendy's does stuff all the time where you're like, who the hell is doing their Twitter? Because they're great all the time. They even threw some shade at James Ellsworth last week. with the Austin Aries leading the charge. So it's terrific stuff there, and just, you know, hey, they were pretty woke themselves, you could say.
Yeah. True that. I mean, this is it's just so funny to me, and you know, I look at this and say to myself, it's a big deal in the world of wrestling for, you know, basically the Hardys to have their thing back, and I think a lot of different people are on the same side, and I think not only at a restaurant, but many other people are kind of looking at Global Force Wrestling and saying, boy, you guys totally missed the boat. You guys are holding something hostage from two guys that really, it's something that belongs to them, honestly. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's kind of a wake-up call for Global Force Wrestling, I think, but they probably will not woke. They'll probably stay asleep. But I just think it's kind of funny that even people in business are realizing that these guys are kind of screwing people over. And Paul, you just mentioned the 10%. We heard Magnus kind of come out on a show and kind of talk a little bit about that. He kind of thinks that if you're signing a contract with Global Force Wrestling, you don't value yourself. You don't find yourself very valuable to anybody because you're kind of selling your soul to be a part of Impact. And do just Impact shows and then have to give up all this money, which is 10%, but still, that's a part of your payday. It's a big deal. I mean, we're even seeing Brandi Rhodes now. This is someone that's really not been a big deal on Impact Wrestling. You know, it's just someone who was kind of here and there, but she left Global Force because, you know, she wanted to do a TV role in Atlanta, which is non-wrestling. Let's clarify that. It has nothing to do with wrestling. Because she wanted to do that, and it was television, Global Force Wrestling says, hey, you have to pay us 10%. That's part of our payday, too. You can't just do another TV show and expect us not to get our money. She decided to ask for a release because of this. And, of course, I'm sure guys like, you know, Cody and Magnus and people like that are applauding her because this is just kind of silly. I don't know. We're talking about Brandi Rhodes, Paul, but still.
I mean, I guess just to hit on the first point, right? 10%. If you're with GFW, I think that 10% is something you're willing to get rid of if you're okay with the TV exposure. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of the X Division guys right now, like a Desmond Xavier, for example, who had a growing name on the independent scene, and now he's in GFW, and now he's hitting a much larger audience. And I think you could say the same for maybe a lot of the other newer talents that GFW's brought in. Brandi, maybe, you know, she's obviously married with a name that has some cachet in wrestling, and Cody is a huge star no matter really where he seems to go, and she's managed to, I think, create her own little niche for herself. And if she's managing to find more work outside of wrestling and doesn't feel like GFW is going to help her, then yeah, like, why not leave? It's not worth the 10% then at that point if you feel like you don't need that exposure.
No, and I mean, when you're as beautiful as Brandi is, I don't think you're going to find too many problems getting work. And then she's also a wonderful announcer, so she could get gigs like that for, you know, TV stations like the one she has. And, I mean, being a GFW is not going to help you. Now, that's where WWE comes in. You can say, look, I'm a WWE. No, obviously, she could say she's a former WWE announcer. But if you're currently with them, that's where having that cachet of saying, look, I'm still with that company and you want me to do something with your TV station, that's really going to help you, because any Atlanta fans in the area could certainly care a little bit more about your TV station. But, you know, saying you're a GFW person means nothing to about 99% of the outside world. So, yeah, if you don't need it, don't let them take your 10%, because that can mean a lot, especially for these guys that may not be getting paid as much as, say, like a Cody was.
Yeah, exactly. You know, having Global Force Wrestling on your resume, you know, it definitely helps if you're, you know, at least trying to prove that you've done on television before and things like that. But you're right, Sean. I mean, this is kind of like saying I work for, you know, the $10 Stargazer magazine or the, you know, the morning paper for, you know, some random town in Idaho, or I work for the Washington Post. That's kind of what we're talking about here. You know, there's a complete difference when you have WWE on the resume and Global Force on the resume. And, you know, Brandy, you know, not exactly the biggest star, you know, has done little things here and there. And that's fine. And that kind of shows you what she thinks about their company, really, because she had to go find other work and wanted to find other work. You know, she was wanting to be a full-time wrestler and really get some training under her belt, but apparently it wasn't working out. It was just was not going the right way, and so she found other places to work, and she did. And
I mean, without Knockouts division the way it is right now, I don't really blame her either.
Right.
No, I don't either. So, I mean, nonetheless, I mean, I think the big deal, though, is the fact that this 10% being, you know, sure, it's 10%. I mean, it still affects wrestlers. They still look at it, and they also see the fact that they can't do certain things. And you got guys like Cody Rhodes coming out, and of course, he's a different deal than a lot of these other people I'm talking about. But Cody Rhodes is coming out and saying, I make three times as much as I ever did in WWE on the indie circuit. There's money to be made out here, people. So if I'm an indie star and I'm looking at that and Cody's making three times what he did at WWE, well, there's got to be still some meat on the bone for me in the indies. Why would I segregate myself just to one company who tells me that I can only do certain things and I have to pay them to work other places? I think it's very interesting. The whole Magnus thing made me really think about this. This Brandi Rhodes thing made me think about this whole situation with Global Force. And this is almost it has a black eye on Global Force overall because of the way they're doing business. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys,
you know, I think honestly, I think Cody also needs to be a little bit more real with people in that you're getting Sinclair money and you're getting New Japan money. You're not just getting local indie from New York money. That's a little bit different than, you know, say what a lot of these people are getting that aren't, you know, the Young Bucks and other guys like that. I mean, he's on an elite level. He's a former WWE guy. He's already going to command a lot of money because I can say that WWE name and you already have to give me a set price. And then on top of that, you know, being in Bullet Club and all that stuff. So, yeah, he's done a lot of great things for him, so I don't want to take that away from him, but you know, you really got to build yourself up a bit before you're getting triple the money you're getting in WWE if you're Cody R, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to discount how hard he's been working either because he is working tons of other places outside of just ROH and New Japan. So he's strictly working those. And I'm not saying they don't pay in the big bucks either, but certainly him working the schedule that he has definitely plays a big part in it too. Like, this is a guy who's literally at the beginning of this year went from Japan to England back to Japan, so you know he's racking up those miles is really what's happening, and just going where the demand's taking him and succeeding apparently very, very well. So hats off.
Yeah, and you know you gave him that credit. But, I mean, it is the situation where, you know, the name definitely helps. And not only that, he's a guy that is really well motivated and really has a set of things that he really does want to accomplish. I'm sure he's still working on those things. And I'm happy for him. I'm at least glad he's been able to do this. But we also have to remember, his WB contract was probably pretty nice compared to a lot of people's paychecks. But I'm not sold that they were paying him so much that we got to be thinking that this guy is just, you know, way crazy, amazing, rich. I mean, I'm sure he's rich, but I don't think compared to what he probably is want to talk about. Who knows? Maybe triple what he was getting paid in WWE. Maybe what we're looking at Roman Reigns making. I don't know. I don't know his contract. But, I mean, you got to also think about that this guy was kind of a mid-carder. He was not the upper echelon. He was not a main event guy. So he wasn't making the most he could in WWE, okay? So I think people need to kind of keep that in consideration. I think Cody saying what he says sounds bigger and badder than it maybe really is. I mean, sure, he's doing pretty darn well for himself. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying let's keep it in perspective, really, what probably would be made in WWE, you know? So, But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, all that kind of comes into play. And what's going on with the indie circuit, people are making a living and making a pretty decent job at it. It's just, you know, once again, name value means a lot. And I look at that Global Force Wrestling roster and the guys they could have had and they could have retained. Cody, I think, is one of those guys they could have possibly retained and kept coming back and back and back. But it's obvious to me that his exit from there and his decision never to go back, at least, you know, recently, kind of shows me that that may not be exactly a hot or somewhere that he really wants to touch, which concerns me a lot of other wrestlers. And I'm not here to just crap on W all night. I'm just stating the fact.
It's not, though. It's not even proven that it's not.
From the perspective.
You already have that problem of GFW. Maybe they get a bigger audience than, say, ROH because of the way that their audience is so segmented. And then, you know, we don't really know the numbers from who's watching on the Fight TV app or whatever. You know, Sinclair doesn't have to release any of that, so we never really get it. And so you don't have a way to get it like you do with the Pop TV stuff or whatever. But we've already seen how, yeah, great, they can get 400 people in there in a high school gym, but they're not doing what ROH does, going to these places and getting a, you know, 2,000 and all that, and getting, you know, what, you know, New Japan can when they come in. They are obviously lower on the totem pole of whether they're hot. And I think Cody knows that. Like, why be in a situation in a place where, you know, New Japan really doesn't want you to be in GFW? You know, and ROH doesn't really want you to. They can say that they don't have a problem with each other, but there's a competitiveness there. I don't think that they really want people working for both companies. It's on that, you know, it may have more national exposure, but it's, as far as buzz goes, it's way down there.
Yeah, I mean, GFW is trying to rebuild itself from all the bad press it got before the rebranding, essentially. Ring of Honor's been sort of on a rise again since the New Japan partnership, and I think that's what's really carried them to where they are right now, and obviously piggybacking on some of those ideas and bringing that to the U.S. has really helped out a lot, too, with the, you know, the Bullet Club and all that. So I think you're completely spot on there, Sean.
And just to also throw in a note here, too, guys, I mean, you know, Global Force is trying, and, you know, I'm making all these statements about them, and we were all kind of pointing out some of the negatives, but they are attempting to go out and make things happen for their brand and really find other talent. I mean, come on, they have actually worked a little bit with AAA and done some things there. They've also, you know, lent a hand out there to the UK and said, hey, you know, if World Sport gets together and they eventually make that happen, we want that partnership to work. And they're even, you know, still trying to see if the talents from the UK that aren't able to perform because of those World Sport, you know, stuff going on, they want to make those guys available too to come to the, you know, to be on Impact. So there's some things going on there. They are, you know, trying to do things the right way at some points, but there's other ways that they've been kind of doing business that are not so smart. So we'll see how that all shakes out. I want to still wait and see, and I'm hoping they do get better and are smarter when it comes to business. So but we're talking about, you know, people moving around and leaving and things like that. Let's talk about the fact that we just mentioned last Thursday on our show that Ho-Ho Loon was released from his contract with WWE. We're getting word now, though, the real reason why he did get released. And, you know, it may not have been a very hard release for them, but Ho-Ho Loon did say that he asked for his release. And the reason being is because his mother is sick in Hong Kong, and so he wanted to go and take care of her. And, I know, Sean, me and you kind of talked about this on that show last week. But, I mean, I kind of feel bad now knowing this, because I kind of thought, you know, he's just a kind of a waste of time. You know, he's really not doing a lot, but now I kind of feel bad for the guy.
Well, yeah, I think anytime you hear about somebody and their family member being sick, you got to feel bad for him. It sucks to hear that for him. But, you know, my point still stands. He really wasn't the biggest loss for the company, and don't know how much they were paying him, but it is a way they can cut some money out. I mean, so, you know, they are cutting costs at this point. Don't know if they're going to actually let go of anyone that doesn't have a reason to leave them, but we'll see, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, Ho-Ho Lun was not there for a wrestling purpose, right? He's there because he has inroads into Hong Kong and China, and that's where WWE is looking to expand. And to that end, I think this is sort of a bit of a bittersweet release for him there, because they've sort of lost that connection. But just because you don't work for him, obviously, doesn't mean you still can't, you know, work for them. So sending him back to Hong Kong and letting him teach whatever he learned to maybe his students that he still has over there are people who will come to him trying to learn how to wrestle in Hong Kong. It might still end up being a win-win for WWE, but absolutely best wishes to Lun and his ailing mother. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we definitely here want them to be, you know, better, and his mother to get a lot better. So what we're talking about releases also, we got to mention Eva Marie. We touched on this in the past, but it is official. Okay, so there's no doubt Eva Marie is no longer a part of WWE. She can't, you know, make little hints or WWE say, no, it's not happening. It's happened, guys. She is finally out of the company. And this is something else I think, you know, Sean, you just touched on it. We were talking about last week a lot about, you know, the fact that WWE is making changes because they're trying to stop bleeding money. They keep spending money. So now I think that they're kind of tightening up a little bit and finding ways to cut. They're cutting the network. They're cutting some of the talent, things like that to kind of basically save a little bit of money here and there. I mean, Paul, I mean, I don't know if that even reads a giant loss, but there's just another one that bites the dust.
Yeah, another one that bites the dust, and this has obviously been long rumored for a while, and now it's just officially done. So bye-bye, Eva Marie. I don't know if we'll miss you all that much, but bye-bye.
Yeah. I like that.
I mean, from for her time, that run in NXT was kind of fun. The getting booed and all that stuff. I enjoyed that little run that she had. We didn't get to see that whole character really get to do a lot on SmackDown. I kind of wanted to see if it would turn into something, but it's not a loss on the wrestling end, right? It's a loss on a character end, which could have benefited them in a way. I don't know exactly. I mean, I guess if you wanted to have female managers or just have her there and she could sort of wrestle some matches, that's fine. Just, I think that's a bigger loss for them, sort of on a, I guess she wasn't even really that interesting on Total Divas, more on a, I guess, an ambassador sort of way, on just a, like, somebody that they can take and like, she's obviously very, very beautiful, and they can take her on all these trips to talk about WWE and everything else and be on the press tours and all that. But, you know, it you know, best of luck to her doing movie roles and everything else.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, you know, we'll see some other names probably drop here and there when it comes to releases. But these are the ones that, you know, I kind of really honestly feel like, you know, they're the easier cuts. And we'll probably see some more names coming out that we're like, wow, I can't believe they got a release, or, you know, this or that. I think it's going to be coming in the near future. So let's watch out for that.
I just think with the brand extension, it's so hard for them to release people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They need them more than ever.
They really do need people, and that's the truth. But with the NXT situation, you know, with bringing up talent and the fact that they signed so many talents in NXT, I could see them maybe saying, well, we're bringing them one up to get rid of the other, you know? So.
Yeah, but there's a reason they're there, right? Because they sort of need to be there. I mean, like, you could probably maybe bring up Aleister Black right now, but some of them are But, you know, Bobby Roode has a wonderful entrance. I don't know if the crowd's going to catch on to when his entrance is over. You know what I'm saying? So, I think Asuka obviously would do wonderful. But for the most part, I don't know that you just have, like, this long list of people that are just ready to go right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on that. I mean, there's not just a huge list, but it makes me think about the fact that they've signed so many guys, so many bigger names on the indies, and I could totally see him saying, well, you know, we've got a lot of these names, we've paid a lot of money for this guy and paid a lot of money for that guy. Maybe we'll cut three or four people that are not making a lot to kind of make room on our cap. You know, maybe we need to think about that. Things like, I mean, it may not happen. I just kind of see, you know, the way business works sometimes. The higher ups get to keep the cash, and a lot of the peons kind of start to lose their jobs. And so that was something I kind of thought about, you know, leading up to this. But who knows? Maybe I'm completely wrong on that. So, I want to, you know, kind of touch on something else that kind of sucks. And this kind of really bums me out. But we've enjoyed watching the Revival. These guys are really fun, and, you know, they're just now getting back into shape because – well, you know, they were out because, you know, one of the tag team partners was injured. But now the other one's injured. That's right. Scott Dawson has a bicep injury. And it appears he might need surgery. This is a sucky, sucky situation. That would leave that tag team out of action. Of course, SummerSlam is serious doubt. Wow, Paul. This is just bumming me out.
Can't buy a break, these guys. Draw one couple months ago for Dash, and now Dawson tears his bicep, surgery is probable. I think in 6 months there, like, that just sucks. This is a great team, and they can't shake off whatever's been ailing them, you know?
Ugh. I hate them. Hate hearing this. These two were wonderful in NXT. They've been very good when we've gotten to see them on the roster. And then just they don't get to stay together long enough. And that's the horrible ailment of tag teams, especially tag teams where there's clearly not one star over the other. One of them gets hurt, the other one goes out.
Mm-hmm. It makes me a little concerned. It really, really does. I got fearful, you know, when I saw this because I thought to myself, you know, Vince is going to look at that and say, what's the purpose? I can't have them on TV. They're always injured. There's no sense in even keeping these guys around very long, or let's not even push them. You know, it really makes me a little gun-shy because of that. And we've seen other people been injured a lot, you know. You know, you always have guys like, you know, Curt Hawkins and people like that who've been around forever, but getting injured and no big deal. But I worry with these young tag teams, especially this one, all the injuries adding up, and, you know, we've seen Emma, right? Emma's been another person. It seems like every time she starts to get something going, injured, oh, well, we'll have to wait around, and then guess what? On the back burner once again. I don't want the Revival to be another tag team that could have been something awesome, but they're on the back burner because of injury, you know? It just terrifies me. But, you know, I have to bring this up because we're talking about injuries and things like that. You know, there's been all this talk with Daniel Bryan and, you know, at the end of his contract and all this stuff because Daniel Bryan's made it known he wants to go wrestle in New Japan. Like, he would love it. He's mentioned it. He's talked about it. And he's often thought, you know, once his contract runs out with WWE, he don't have to worry about much. He can go and work for other companies and do his own thing and not worry about the WWE doctors and what they're going to say about him. I do have to ask the question, and this is an interesting situation because we've heard Dave Meltzer kind of talk a little bit about this as well. But if Daniel Bryan did go to New Japan and go through their protocol for concussions and, you know, of course, being medically cleared, how do you think that would work out? That's my big question. Do you guys think that New Japan would be more willing to clear Daniel Bryan, or do you think that he would still get the roadblock that he's getting now?
So this is all spawning from some comments that Dave Meltzer made saying that he believes that New Japan roughly has the same protocol that WWE has and that essentially he wouldn't be allowed to wrestle there either.
He still has a little less than a year and a half left on his contract, and WWE clearly is going to keep him in the role that he is now, and all this other stuff, and I still don't want to speak too soon, because you never know how being a dad changes somebody, and he has so much more to live for now and all this, but he does really want to do this. You know, you never know where you're going to be a year and a half from now, and he could be much healthier. He could be, you know, working on whatever, and obviously concussions is just a problem that doesn't magically go away or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but he could be much healthier by the time he's out of the WWE's doors. I wouldn't sell out the idea that he's in New Japan come 2020-ish, but I don't know if he's going to want to do it anymore, you know? Just because either he's going to have so much fire built up and New Japan's going to say, no, we don't need you anymore because we have all these other great stars, or, you know, he's just his priorities will change, you know, with being a father.
Yeah, and you're right about that. You know, I'm in that situation as well. You know, I'm a father, and I've made a lot of choices with my life. You know, what can I do? What can I do? You know, I'll be honest with you. I'd be doing a lot more podcasts. I'd be doing a lot more stuff for the website. I'd be doing all sorts of things if I didn't have that, because, you know, I feel like I'm indebted. I got to spend time with my daughter at times, and it's you know, something that kind of keeps me from doing something I really enjoy. But, I mean, it's also, you know, something that I would rather do, honestly. You know, spend time with my daughter is very important to me. So, I get it. And you bring up a good point. And, Sean, I know you definitely can identify with that, too.
Yeah, you know, you have to make choices, obviously, for your kids and for whatever you decide to do. I think it's just one of those things where you have to. We've already seen that with Brian. He's gone less on SmackDown.
Yep.
For that, and SmackDown suffers for that because he's much better than Shane in that role. And you know, it kind of sucks to hear that he might be. But look, you know, he says that he's developed a style of wrestling that would make it to where he wouldn't be taking as many bumps and everything else. And I would tend to believe that if he says, hey, I feel like I would be okay, then, you know, I tend to believe him a little bit. It's difficult because you go, oh man, that terrible news that we heard that made him retire. It's like, how much of that is still there? That kind of never goes away. We see it with all these, you know, CTE things with the NFL players and all that stuff. And I like I said, I want to really trust that he knows what he's doing. You know, obviously he knows what he wants to do, and he wouldn't be putting himself at risk, at the risk of his child, if he didn't feel confident that he'd be okay. But, you know, wrestling is such a perilous business. All it takes is, you know, a few things to go wrong, and you're in a much different situation than you were when you walked in there. So, you know.
Yeah. It just makes you wonder, you know, what his mindset's going to be. And the one thing, though, is I had that question, you know, the New Japan clearing. I mean, I don't know. I don't really follow their medical procedures, and maybe I haven't even studied up with the guys.
Well, I mean, this is after the Shibata thing. They said they were instituting much rougher, like a more stringent kind of, you know, medical thing. So would they clear him? Who knows? Perhaps they would, just to get him on the show once to see what would happen. I think, you know, again, like you don't have to put him in a dream match to start out with, right? I mean, if he thinks that he can go, like, you know, if they really want to test him out to see if he's going to be okay, put him in a match with Yano just to see if he can, you know, roll around and and do so. They, I mean, they could put him in a six-man tag just to get him a feel of the ring again and all that sort of thing, and being in front of a big audience and all that, and then you kind of progress him slowly into being in bigger matches and everything else. He doesn't have to go from show up, be in a match with Okada or Kenny Omega or whatever, and we're going to start you there, because, again, the risk is high. Not that, I mean, something bad couldn't happen in a tag match, just saying the risk is supposedly lower in that situation.
If I'm ghetto, I have Daniel Bryan versus Zack Sabre Jr. penciled into my dream journal.
Well, yeah, you could do that too. He's more on the ground there.
Yep.
Man, I think that's my dream journal too. I hope I do dream about that match tonight in my sleep.
I just kind of hope Ghetto has a dream journal. It just says, you know, it's got Okada's face on it, a bunch of hearts around it or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would love it. You know, put both of their names together with hearts around it, big circle.
Please make that so, Ghetto.
Ghetto and Okada forever.
Yeah. God, that's amazing. Now I want to draw that. But anyway, let's talk about something that, you know, we're talking about injuries and severe, serious injuries. We got some bad news recently with another wrestler, former in New Japan, also All Japan, and also Noah, a Triple Crown winner, has held every title, major title of those companies. And that is Yoshihiro Takayama, and apparently, you know, as we probably reported back in May, he had a spinal cord injury, and now we're getting more word about the fact that he is paralyzed from that spinal cord injury, and this is rough. I mean, I know he's an older guy, I think he's like 50, but still, this is just such a sad piece of news that I just hate that we're hearing.
Yeah, paralyzed from the neck down. This is off of a botched move at a DDT show back in May. This really sucks. Takayama is a living legend, essentially, and can still go pretty decently for how old he is and how big he is, too. And dude has been through some wars, and if you've never heard of him, just go type in Takayama versus Kobayashi and sit back and enjoy some YouTube, because you're in for a treat. And this, the fact that he's paralyzed and such, it's awful, awful news. All the good vibes and prayers are... Whatever you do to send out good feelings into the universe for Takayama, they're there.
Yeah, totally. Just bum bit of news coming. When I saw it on Twitter, it was just like, damn, a legend. Not, you know, unable to perform too soon. Just, it's awful. I hate when these things happen. It's just, again, we just talked about the perils of wrestling, right? You know, a botch move. This man's been wrestling for how long now? All it takes, you go to a DDT show, do this move, you know, somebody messes up a move, and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Paralyzed from the neck down. Oh, it's just awful.
It is such a shame. It really, really is. And, yeah. I mean, I hate to even have to talk about it, but it's just the way that, you know, this works. And people don't think that, you know, wrestling is a serious thing when it comes to getting injured and all that thing. Oh, well, you know, we hear about these things, but this is some major situations going down in the world of wrestling when you got, you know, spinal cord injuries, neck injuries, and CTEs. I mean, all that just really has to be thought of in you know, the world of athletics, just like any other sport. So think about this when, you know, guys are out there doing these matches and, you know, you're rooting for something. Now you may not be wanting to do that. So let's talk about, you know, something more positive, get away from some of the more sadder pieces of news. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, Sean and I actually talked about All Japan Pro Wrestling. They actually partnered up with Fight TV, so you can find them there. We actually also have Premier Wrestling Experience, also, you know, being a partner of Fight TV, and they're actually out of Charlotte. So, I mean, Paul, Sean and I kind of talked about the All Japan being a part of Fight. But this is cool. I mean, all this. What do you think about All Japan and, of course, this PWE?
The All Japan stuff is really good news. This is a great product that they've started to put on after the turnaround since Junya Akiyama took over the book for them. And it's just been such a really fun time to follow those shows. They're going to be $5 a piece, and you get unlimited replays. So if you're at all interested, Kento Miyahara is just an incredible athlete and is worth some attention from your eyes. I've heard of Premier Wrestling Experience. They've done a lot of shows. They're another one of these indies, sort of like Wrestle Circus and a few others that have just sort of like sprung up overnight and found instant success. And this is just really cool. Like, Fight TV is really starting to jump onto the wrestling bandwagon because I think that's where most of their money's coming from. So good on them for trying to get into the game.
Has Eric said anything about how this affects the Real Hero archive as far as All Japan?
He made a post, but I haven't found it yet. I just remember reading something about that in passing.
Yeah, that's. I was wondering that too last week about if that affects how All Japan's going to be put on there or not, because usually, and rightfully so, once they go into a situation where they are more accessible, they're no longer there because you start paying for them. And you know, it also helps not have it become the ROH archive situation where it goes away quickly because, you know, Sinclair wants you to pay for that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
all good news, though. I mean, for Fight TV, like you said, Paul. And Sean, I mean, I know, you know, Fight TV is definitely an amazing source for us because now, you know, if you just want to go check out multiple shows, it's a simple one place to go.
Yeah, I mean, you can get almost everybody's pay-per-view there. You can get almost anything you want that's not on Flow Slam or on WWE. So, you know, you can't really complain. That's a wonderful app. It's right there at your fingertips. You can pay for the thing right on there and watch it on there. It goes to Chromecast. So, I mean, you can stream it right to your TV. I mean, so, you know, it's simple things in today's world of everything streaming or whatnot, but wonderful thing to have.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and that it's free by itself, that they're not charging you $10 just to be able to use the thing, and then you have to pay more money to, you know, order the things you want on there.
Mm-hmm. No, you're totally right about that. All these are really positive things, and I think, you know, fans of wrestling, I mean, that's one easy source and a great place to go. So, Fight TV, let's see, we talked about you guys for, I think, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, a great commercial. You send us about, you know, $300, we're good. So, I'm kidding.
Wow, I'm glad that Gary's just going around for claiming money now.
Come on, we talked about him. All this, I mean, basically, Sean, you just cut a great commercial for those guys. You put them over pretty well.
We did. You know what? Fight TV, you know, a little sponsorship here wouldn't be.
Yeah,
wouldn't be bad.
So. Hey, if you sign on, I won't charge you the $300. We'll work at a better deal. So, anyway, enough about that. Hey, trust me, I'm trying to get sponsors all I can. Let's go ahead and, you know, talk about the last couple of things, really. These are just quick pieces of news I want to throw out there to the world. You know, we talked Global Force Wrestling. They are actually looking at making Lockdown, that pay-per-view that we used to have, you know, not just a regular TV episode. It is actually going to be back at pay-per-view. And they're at least looking into that, at least. I don't know. Do you guys think that would be a positive thing? Well, Sean, what do you think about that?
I mean, why not have more pay-per-views? I get, you know, for me, though, the more pay-per-views you have, the cheaper you need to make that price. You know, you run into the ROH territory where, you know, if they start going to more of the six a year kind of thing, charging $40 for each one is a little much. And again, look, we talked about this when the network came out. They're going to set the precedent, and so many others have followed, and it works out for them. You know, ROH, and I'm fine. You know, I think GFW is fine if they only have two a year, but if Lockdown is just more to come, and they want to have more of these that are more official, GFW Impact Wrestling pay-per-views, then you need to start thinking about maybe that $15 price that you do for the one-night onlys being the set price for your pay-per-views, not be a bad thing. But, yeah, I mean, why not have more big shows? That's good for your company.
Yeah, I figured they might try to bring back more pay-per-views since they got bought out by Fight TV and all that. So, not Fight TV, Fight Network. So, them trying to branch out into what used to be one of their bigger shows of the year, putting it back on pay-per-view, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that does come to pass.
Yeah, and one last thing we're going to talk about quickly is that, you know, at a live event this past weekend, Baron Corbin apparently has new music. That's right. What you heard once before is now more metal than ever before. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard it. I don't know if you saw that video that they kind of let leak. But, I mean, I think it wasn't bad. I mean, I think it kind of fits Baron Corbin. I don't know if you guys heard it.
I already like his current theme music pretty well, so I haven't seen the new stuff yet, but I don't know how you can make it better. It's already kind of cool.
Well, but, you know, I think they made Kaz is a little bit like his. They kind of shared that whole kind of stutter part, you know, at the beginning, so I get kind of changing it up, but you're
Kaz
right.
Kaz still sounds like, you know, creative wrestler number 20 or whatever, but at least they got it a little better, you could say. I'm with Paul. I liked Baron Corbin's already, so I don't know. Until I hear it, I can't really say whether or not I like this new version.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out. I noticed that I heard a little bit. It's kind of hard to hear anyway on the cell phone, whatever they were using. So, but yeah, we'll talk about that later on. I just want to say Jason Jordan's music kind of sucks too. I don't really care if it is. So. Some bad choices for WWE when it comes to music. They got other great choices, just those kind of suck. But anyway, well, there you go, guys. That is our quick hits for this week. I just want to mention one last thing before we move on to Ring of Honor. I just got to let people know that I am very jealous of one man by the name of Aaron Frame. Of course, he's, you know, a guy that's on our Facebook group, and you know, I'm sure he, if he ever hears this part of the show, I just want to tell him I'm very jealous. Ken Shamrock is now following him on Twitter. So I just need everybody listening right now to go to your Twitters, send Ken Shamrock a message, and say, you need to follow at W2MGary. It is very important, Ken Shamrock, because he knows that you are a hero among men. So, and you can quote me on that if you want. So just please have Ken Shamrock follow me. It is something that is very crucial to my lifeline. Thank you. So. Just want that public service announcement.
Or you can be even more awesome and send him clips from this show where Gary just professes his love for Ken Shamrock all the time. So that
yes,
that might help the cause too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe he'll even do one of those like, you know, you're listening to Wrestling to the Max, whatever. You know,
yeah. Exactly. There you go.
Ken Shamrock's number one fan.
Yeah, tell him that you heard about Kim on our show, and then there you go. And it just do me a favor, ignore the one where I talked about him not being a good idea to face Brock Lesnar. Leave that one alone. But if he does follow me, I will say, great idea, Ken, go with it.
So. I don't know, maybe after his last fight, he might have thought better of it.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Well, now everybody, you have your mission. Make sure you send him that message at W2MGary. Follow me, Ken Shamrock. Well, guys, let's move on. We've got some Ring of Honor talk to talk about. We've got a double dose for everybody. I'm really looking forward to these conversations we're about to have. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's do it now.
All right, so we're going to cover the Women of Honor special, and we're going to cover the most recent episode. So first up, we have the Women of Honor episode where we open with Mr. Koff, I forget his first, Jeff Koff, I believe, from Sinclair Broadcasting, stating that we're going to see Women of Honor matches take place on pay-per-view in the future. They've said this before, And honestly, the division isn't as strong now as it was before WWE started signing everybody. So we'll see how well that goes. But that leads us into our opening match, which is Chris Wolf of Stardom defending her high-speed championship against Sumi Sakai, who's a 30-year veteran of wrestling, I think, at this point. She's wrestled all over the world. Tremendous talent. Chris Wolf is an American-born Japanese who has since moved back to Japan and started learning wrestling. She was originally a photographer, and she now portrays a wolf. She's an actual wolf. It makes for a lot of fun, and she loves to hit the piss out of people, and I think you get a good representation of all of that here. I kind of wish there was a little bit more going on here, but I didn't think that this was bad or great. It's just good stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I want to clarify that, you know, me personally, I do not follow, the Women of Honor, not because I'm sexist or anything. I just honestly have not really spent a lot of time with it. So forgive me of my ignorance of some of these ladies. But I just
have to ask. It's not your fault that they put them only on their YouTube channel.
I know.
And you have to go out there and find it or whatever.
And by the way, Ring of Honor, if you just need someone to do your social media, at least for the YouTube, call me. I'll do it free. Your YouTube channel sucks. It's awful. Anyway.
God.
It does. They don't update anything. Dude, I wouldn't even know Ring of Honor TV existed. I would just think that all they have is old episodes and then Women of Honor. That's all I would see. How long has she had that gimmick? Because I was just making sure she didn't steal that from Glow.
I think she's 3 years now, 4 years.
Yeah, she's had that gimmick for a while.
Yeah.
It's probably also, you know, that, like, the gimmick that they do in Glow, that's something we probably would have, we've seen that, like, before in, like, 80s movies in the past, so... You know, I wouldn't be, but that's more of like, I would sort of think of it like in anime, you have a lot of characters that have tails and stuff like that. So I would think of it more of something from there than even thinking about it being from Glow or anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, I was just curious. I mean, it's interesting. You know, not a bad match here. They did a decent job, but, it looks like they're trying to, you know, the younger superstar gets a chance to be victorious here.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Wolf came over here. This is a part of the Stardom ROH deal that they have going on now. And the next person we'll talk about is actually getting ready to go over Stardom for a while, too. So, Chris Wolf is still young in the wrestling game, still learning. Sumi Sakai, longtime vet. I think they worked a pretty fine match here, for sure. We take a break from the Women of Honor stuff to see Silas Young and Beardsley the Bruiser come out and inject some testosterone into show. That's their words. They bring up the safety sign. They say Lethal hadn't been here for 36 days, and Lethal is too scared to return, so says Silas, and we won't ever see him again. Oh, Silas, if only you knew in 1 week's time you'd be so wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, I mean, this was okay. They had to interject it in, but I kind of thought this was kind of pointless. It was almost like, hey, we don't have enough Ring of Honor women matches to play, so we're just throwing this in here. I would prefer if they just did the safety dance.
Mm-hmm. This felt more like him doing his gimmick, right? Like,
yeah,
just, oh, I'm Mr. Their Last Real Man. I'm not going to say that there shouldn't be women wrestling here, but, you know.
True, yeah, that's Silas for you.
Yeah, he's done this on the last couple Women of Honor shows, too, so. And that, not unexpected, but, you know, you figure for a special that's supposed to be dedicated to a division, they don't really do that anymore. I don't think they've done that since the first one.
Yeah, it's apparent. And of course, as you go through this, Paul, you will find that out even more.
Mm-hmm. After that, we get a video package to show off the history between Jenny Rose and Mandy Leon that's been going on for some time now, although you wouldn't know it because unless you pay attention to their awful YouTube page, as Gary just mentioned, you wouldn't know any of this was happening. Mandy Leon, however, is heading to Stardom. I think she's going to be in their 5-star Grand Prix, if I remember correctly. Jenny Rose has been wrestling for about 5 or 6 years. She spent some time in the ROH dojo and all that good stuff. So you get about a 9-minute match here or so. Leon is sort of what she is right now, mostly because I think she wrestles part-time. She's not really full-time like Jenny Rose is, and I think you could tell the difference pretty easily. Jenny Rose does get the victory here with an electric chair drop.
Yeah, another match that, you know, was okay. I think it's good that they had the package and all that to kind of give you an insight on what was happening, but it's kind of hard to really be excited about a match that you just don't know a lot about.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did a decent job with the video package of at least trying to get you into what was going on with all this.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So we get highlights of Deonna Purrell.
Oh, I didn't have anything really. I didn't know Sean. I didn't know Sean.
Okay.
We have a delay. We're having to get a delay problem, so.
Good times.
Sorry. I forgot about most of this match, so.
It's fine. It wasn't very good. we get highlights of Deonna Purrell making Kelly Klein tap out, which, of course, the rest of that hasn't seen that, so she ends up losing the match later on. And then Karen Q has actually beaten Klein by count out, which has pissed Klein off to no end, and you have this big feud going on between all of them. But before we get to that match, of course, we have to be reminded of Bully Ray and the Briscoes issues. Bully's trying to get Jay back in the game. They want to take out Bullet Club, and then we get some breakup or some footage of the Rebellion splitting up and Shane Taylor seemingly going rogue and just beating up people randomly because he's Shane Taylor, and I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, that, you know, Shane Taylor doing his thing is very arousing. I mean, he just kills people, so it makes you very happy. And then, of course, you know, to arouse you even more, Bully Ray telling, you know, the Briscoe brothers to be more pissed off, stay angry, be very just telling Mark Briscoe, no, I don't want you to do it. I want you to be pissed off. So I liked all that. To me, that, you know, as much as I am very disappointed they didn't show more of the Women of Honor, I think that this is, you know, something they added in that I think needed to be put in somewhere. I'm glad they did it.
Mm. Yeah, and then we get our main event. Karen Q takes on Deonna Purrell and Kelly Klein in a triple threat match. I'm a huge Kelly Klein fan. I think she's going to go really far in this business. She's also heading to Stardom for a tour as well. I think somebody's going to do very well over there. Big, likes to work the ground game, very good at striking. She just needs some time to polish up, and she'll be one of the big stars, I think, in the women's indie scene that we'll be talking about for a while. Deonna Purrell, of course, already is there. Stints in NXT. She's won the Women's Super 8 tournament twice now. Works all over the Northeast. Karen Q, I'm still not overly familiar with, but she seems to be able to hold her own and even thrive during parts of this match. And I think really outside of them working the standard triple threat formula here, all the women here did a pretty bang-up job.
I'm right there with you. I think so, too. I think they did a really positive thing here for themselves because they really had a good match, and not only that, they kind of, you know, fed into what they were showing you in the video package and all that about the story and everything that's going on. So I was pretty happy with it. It made sense that this was the main event. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course I should mention Karen Q does get the win here with a roll up on Deonna Purrell, who they're buddies. So
yeah. So it causes more problems, too, of course.
How nice of them.
Yeah, how nice of them. Friendship's good.
No, this is a good match. I liked. I'm with you. Kelly Klein's a big fan of what she does. She's, I think you said, you know, she could be, I'm surprised WWE hasn't tried to pry her away, because she seems like someone that they could want to use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's pretty much the building block since, oh boy, what's her name? The chick who used to come out with Jay Lethal all the time.
Taylor Hendricks?
Yeah, since Taylor's left Ring of Honor, Kelly Klein's pretty much become the foundational block for the Women of Honor division. So I think that's partially why she hasn't gone. Also, I don't think she's been wrestling all that long yet either, so maybe giving her some time to polish in the WWE's eyes without having to pay her is sort of where their line of thinking is right now.
Yeah, probably good for them when they're trying to save money.
Right. Well, that finishes up the Women of Honor special, so we'll move into this last week, or the most recent episode of Ring of Honor TV, which is pretty much anchored by the ROH World Championship match, 2 out of 3 falls between Cody and Christopher Daniels. But before we get there, we got to talk about these promos, Gary, because, oh my God, do both men deliver. We get video packages, we have Cody calling himself a sports entertainer and how much money he's brought to Ring of Honor since he's been here, and as much as he wants to prove himself because of all this, he wants to take he wants ROH to evolve past what it ever thought it could be. And Cody's promo here was phenomenal, and Daniels, they show off the promo that they pulled from television that they've been hyping up from about 3 weeks ago since Best of the World ended, and both Kazarian and Daniels just give such an incredibly impassionate promo about how much they hate the fans for turning on them and backing Cody after supporting Daniels for beating Cole and all this other stuff. It's just, oh, this is all so, so good. I can't recommend people going out and finding this, you know, enough.
So this is exactly why I'm angry at Ring of Honor's YouTube channel. Because, you know, I get it. You don't want to give anything away before people see it on TV or people see it on Ring of Honor's website where you have to pay a fee to watch it. I get that. But once it's out, once it's already been done, it's already hit Defy TV up or whatever, let it go. Now release it. Let people relive this. Put it on YouTube immediately. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. And it's disappointing because this is so good. Paul, everything you're setting up here, you're totally on cue. I mean, starting off with Cody Rhodes, I think he told a story that really made you interested in what he had to say. Mm-hmm. And not only that, setting up his thought process with Christopher Daniels and why he does what he does and what he does for Ring of Honor, which some of that may be actually true. Because, you know, he's saying these every time he's on Ring of Honor pay-per-views, they increase. And making a lot of great points. I love the way that they edited the video, too. I have to say that. They did an excellent job of really making some great visual cues along with what Cody's talking about. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, overall, that whole thing was brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. And then when they jump into this controversial film or tape, whatever, that was never aired, I love this too, for the fact that you have Kazarian basically coming and being honest with the crowd and saying, you guys suck, because you were saying that after Christopher Daniels won this title and all that, you loved him, but then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you're saying he sucked. And he really condemned the fans and making fun of him, calling the guys fat, saying that they were crying when they were asking for autographs from Daniels after he won the title. And I love those. Just all those like cheap heat, but still really funny, making jokes about people wearing Bullet Club shirts, things like that. I think Cass had a huge deal there with all that stuff. It really kind of, I think, touched home to a lot of fans. And then when Daniels talks, I just really felt what he was saying, and I think that he did a good job, and I love the fact that he even brought up the name Stardust. Mm-hmm. He even went that far to bring up that name, bring up some other things that I never thought in a million years Ring of Honor would allow him to do or say. So overall, this whole thing with the beginning with Cody, the next thing with Kaz and Daniels, all great stuff. You know, especially the fact that Daniels says, I'm going to win the title. I'm going to ask for my release, and I'm never going to defend it in front of you guys ever again.
Yeah, that, I loved it. So brilliant. I loved that part,
greatness.
Too. Yeah, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about this. The build on this episode was great. But before we get to that match,
Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser come out. It's been 43 days since we've seen Lethal on TV. Silas waxes on and on about how he's so, so happy and proud to be the Beer City Bruiser's friend, for what they did to Lethal, putting him out of action for all these days and all that good stuff. And finally, Jay Lethal comes out. He's got a chair. He ends up beating both of them down with that. He grabs the sign and hits him with that. Security tries to get into the ring, completely fails at getting Lethal out of there, and Lethal just goes to town on Silas with that chair for a long time before finally putting him away with a lethal injection. It was a thing. Certainly was that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wasn't, you know, the best thing in the world, but at least you got some conclusion to a thing that was kind of getting long in the tooth, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole Silas Young thing with the safety sign and all, it just was getting a little old. It wasn't bad, just getting old. And so now you have Jay Lethal shutting him up, coming out and taking care of business and basically destroying both, you know, Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser, and making him pay for all the things that they said and for what they did to him. So that was much appreciated that this could be the end, or at least, you know, stop the whole thing with a sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get another match between these two at some point. Just got to wait now. And of course, this brings us to our main event, the championship match. Cody defends against Christopher Daniels, 2 out of 3 falls. I think the opening shenanigans took too long, and it kind of took me out of the match a little bit, and then they start trading headlocks. I really think both guys really probably should have come out and blew off some steam, a couple minutes of just some fast-paced brawling and try to draw you in quick, but they didn't do that. They went for the long game. Cody wins in 2 straight falls. The first fall, a ref bump leads to both guys low-blowing each other. Kazarian runs down and slides a chair into the ring. Marty Scurll runs down after that and attacks Kazarian and drives him off, and Cody rolls up Daniels during the chaos to get the first fall. Daniels dominates the match after that, after he just smashes Cody in the I think it was the stomach and then the back with the chair. In between the beginning of the next fall, which they play up pretty well because the referee, Todd Sinclair, was ready to disqualify him, and of course, second fall hadn't started yet, so there's technically no DQs to be had. And then just sort of no matter what Daniels did, he couldn't keep Cody down. Daniels misses the best moonsault ever, eats a crossroads, and that's all she wrote. And I don't know. I appreciated what they were going for. I feel like this could have been laid out so much better than what we got.
The build was there. The match wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
They really built this up really well. I think that you were kind of excited about seeing this match. I honestly thought, man, I'm looking forward to this match because it's going to be on our list this week. And I just don't think it did it. I can already say right now, I don't think it's going to make our list. And if it does, guys, you know wrestling sucked this week. So, and it's not because this match sucked overall. I'm just saying it did not have all the components that we like to evaluate with our superstars of the week. So just clarify that right now. But, you know, what you were saying here, Paul, about the beginning, I completely agree with you. I thought to myself, okay, so is this a situation where they kind of knew how much stuff that they had for this episode? So they told the guys, go ahead and go out there. No, you're not planning on a long match, but make it long. And that's the way it felt. I mean, it just felt like they were just kind of goofing. And I just didn't like that. I thought it was just a waste of time. It did take you out of it. And then when you finally got into it, you were just kind of like, okay, well, when's this thing going to end? Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself several times, I do like the adding the chair in there. I like the surprise victory for Rhodes at the first fall. And I also like the addition of Kaz. I think it's kind of cool that he looks like the heel. You know, it's really odd when Marty Scurll looks like the baby face coming down to take care of Kazarian.
Yeah.
Very weird world. The villain coming out to save the villain. But anyway, it's you know, a match where they did a little bit here and there, and it worked out to where, you know, Cody Rhodes looks like it's funny to say this, kind of the baby face that overcomes all the odds.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it is. And I'm a little confused by that. But in the end, it makes sense that Daniels doesn't have the title. And now he can go out and pout and do what he does. And now Cody Rhodes has that clear voice to say, Daniels couldn't beat me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Cody has actually started defending this championship outside of Ring of Honor, too. And he's made a defense in Glory Pro. He made a defense I believe it was All Pro Wrestling. Taking it elsewhere, doing what he does with the championship, I think is good for Ring of Honor. I think it's good for Cody. And I think everybody sort of wins out of this deal. And it's still a 3-star match. Like, everything after they finally get going, I think from the first fall forward, is quite good. It's just getting there was a real drag and really took you out of this. So, all in all, I don't think this was a bad episode of Ring of Honor. I'd recommend it, especially for the promo work, for sure. But next week, Kushida will defend the ROH TV title against Kenny King, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, and I think that's a main event that we'll be really excited about, and something that probably will make our list next week. So we'll see. We'll follow that when it comes to us. But yeah, that wraps up our Ring of Honor for this week, and we hope you enjoyed the double dose. I know we don't do that a lot, but when we do it, I think it's a lot of fun. So hope you guys have really, really enjoyed that. That pretty much wraps up our show tonight, guys. That's pretty much all we have for now. But guess what? Next Friday morning, you guys will have another great show when we do episode 259 part 2. And then, of course, include a double shot of Lucha Underground. That's right. We have two Lucha Undergrounds we're going to be talking about. We kind of saved that one as well. Plus, we'll also be getting into some Impact Wrestling, along with all the big news that's going to follow this show and the role of wrestling. We won't get a chance to talk about tonight. We'll talk about that then. So lots of cool stuff to look forward to. Plus great review shows. Sean and I, of course, last week did Raw. Paul and I did Raw this week. And then, of course, you'll have your SmackDown Lives with Sean and Harry, along with 205 Live, and then Paul and I on NXT. So and all our schedules are getting back to normal again. Really looking forward to you guys checking those shows out, plus all the other great stuff on the W2M Network that you're not going to want to miss. There'll be some new content that you need to look out for when it comes to wrestling as well. So go check out all that. Subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max. Go check out W2Mnet.com as well as everything we have out there. So thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate you for joining us. For myself, Gary Vaughn, and of course, Paul Leeser, Sean Garmer, we hope you guys have a great rest of the week. Until then, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.